You shall see, Mr. Nicholas Nickleby, how I shall vex and hurt you. How I shall take you and anything, every tiny thing you care for, and destroy it.
After the very public rejection of her tender affections, Miss Fanny Squeers feels such bitter and passionate feelings against her heartless betrayer that she could choke. However, she chooses instead to direct her spite through her father at the one thing, the one being Nicholas Nickleby cares for at Dotheboys Hall.
Protest! Protest, you wretch! You've been thanking me for looking after you!
For since the night Nicholas had spoken kindly to him, the poor wretch Smike had been an altered being. He has an object now, and that to show his attachment to the only person who has ever treated him, not even with kindness, but as a human creature.
Well, Smike, how goes it?
I can't do it. I looks at the words, but they don't mean nothing. Oh, no, I can't.
It's all right. Don't try.
I want to learn, Mr. Nicholas.
Don't, please. How are they, Mr. Squeers and...
The missus. They're more hard with me than ever.
I know it and I feel it.
If it weren't for you, I should die. I know I would. They'd kill me. I know it.
If it wasn't for me, you would have a life a little less hard, my friend. No, you would be better when I'm gone.
Gone?
Shh. Yes.
Are you going?
Well, I can't say, not for certain. I was speaking my thoughts.
Tell me, please. Are you really?
I fear I shall be driven to it, Smike. After all, the world is in front of me.
Is a world like this place? Is it as terrible and...
Smike, at its worst, the world is a heaven compared to Dotheboys.
Quietly. Should I ever meet you there?
Yes. Why not?
I should. Tell me again. Say I should find you. Say I should be sure to find you.
You would. And in the world I would help and aid you and not bring fresh troubles on you as I have here.
Dreams are the bright creatures of poem and legend who sport on earth in the night. But they fade away in the cold, feeble dawn of a January morning as it steals in at the windows of the common sleeping room. Nicholas raises himself on one arm and looks around at the closely packed forms that lay on either side of him, huddled together for warmth in the leaden light, looks around for one form in particular, and...
Are you going to sleep all day, you lazy hound?
We shall be up and about directly, sir.
Get on with it. You boy, move. Where's that Smike?
Where are you? Do you want your head broke in a fresh place?
Get out of my way, boy.
Oh, confound your impudence.
Where is he, Nickleby?
Sir?
Smike.
He's... Not here.
Not
sir.
Here. You lie. Where else would he be?
I do not lie. He is not in this room.
He's hiding in some corner. Well, you won't hide from me, sir. I shall root you out.
Where are you? Here. This is your corner. These are your rags and...
What does this mean? Where have you hid him?
I've seen nothing of him since last night.
Come. You won't save him a beating. Where is he?
At the bottom of the nearest pond, for all I know.
What do you mean? You boys, have you seen him? Someone must know. You boy. Tompkins? You'll speak, you puppy, or I'll flog it out of you.
If he's not here, then he must have run away.
Run away? Why would anybody wish to do that? Tompkins, you would not run away. You, my little lamb. I'm sure none of you would. Minister Nickleby here, he thinks
it's very likely.
Oh, you do, do you? Maybe you know he has.
I know nothing of the sort.
You boys, what are you gawping at? Get dressed at once. So he's run away. 12 shillings a week it'd cost to replace him at least. And he's run all, the ungrateful wretch, run all. And is it any wonder when we have a proud-stomached young teacher that sets the puppy dogs rebelling? Now, you'll just have the kindness to take yourself and the boys off to the schoolroom and don't stir from it until I give you leave, lest you and I might fall out,
as you say,
in a way that might spoil your looks, handsome as you think you are.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Jackanapes, go on about your business.
Now, boys.
Now, boys. Follow your leader, but not so far, not so far, not so far as Smike.
Now, where would he be? Cowshed? Stables? No, they've all been seen this morning. No one there. Where then, eh? Has he money? No, none that I know of. So, if he goes, he must eat, and to eat, he must beg. And what would be the point of begging in a lane? No, not a lane, but a public road. Even his brain will have followed that far. And so, shall we follow him, and we shall find him. And when we find him, why, I might stop short of flaying him alive, but only by the smallest degree.
Squeers starts forth at once in the chase. Mrs. Squeers follows in the cart, accompanied by a stout labouring man and his bludgeon. Nicholas remains behind, his feelings in a tumult.
Wherever he's gone, poor boy, no good will come of it. Oh, what will become of them? What will become of us all? Well, whatever it may be, the outstanding account between Squeers and I must be settled, and sooner rather than later.
Now, boys, attend, please. If I have 1 guinea and I buy...
That's the way. Bring him this way, that fellow.
And I spend 8 pence upon beefsteak. Well, attend to me now, Parker. And you, Simpson, please attend now. A penny, 3 farthings upon bread rolls, and a further farthing upon mustard.
Well, boys, looky here. Who's come back to us?
Oh, my lord, what have you done to him?
Little beast, you're dead, sir. Each boy to keep his place. What's his boulder? Keep your eyes down till I tell you otherwise, boy. Now, Smike, what shall we do with you, you young scamp? Hey, what on earth shall we do with you? We want you to say for yourself, eh? Nothing. Nothing at all. Oh, you're looking at this. Not seen it before, eh? No, it's special. Yes. Brought new on the way back this afternoon. Waxed end. Moves like a snake. Stings like 1,000 bees. Still nothing to say. Stand back, you boys. We've hardly room to move.
Oh, yes.
The fairy said.
Oh, is that all it is? I'll tell you what. I'll flog you to within an inch of your life and spare you that.
I was driven to do it, please, sir.
What do you mean by that? Perhaps we'll find out. Hold still.
Ah!
Hold still, I say.
Stop!
Who cried stop?
I. This must not go on.
Must not go on.
No.
Sit down, beggar. Stand out of my way.
I will not stand by and see this done. Look to yourself, for by heaven I will not spare you if you drive me on.
I tell you, stand back.
I will not.
Then if I cannot flog him, I'll flog you.
Now, sir, a taste of your own medicine.
Having brought the punishment to a conclusion and ensured that Squeers is still breathing, Nicholas leaves his family to restore him, and after looking for Smike, nowhere to be seen, goes to his room, packs up his few clothes in a leather case, and marches boldly out the front door, and sets off along the road that leads to Greta Bridge. By this time he has cooled off enough to reflect on his current circumstance.
4 shillings and 3 pence. And 200 miles to Kate and Mama in London.
There is nothing for it, he decides, but to set off as he is, on foot. And the sooner he starts, the sooner he'll find out what account of this matter Mr. Squeers has made to his uncle, Mr. Ralph Nickleby. But there is another encounter waiting for him as he comes round a twist in the road. Riding towards him is the bulky figure of Mr. John Browdie, engaged to Miss Tilda Price, friend of Fanny Squeers. Mr. John Browdie, who last time they met, promised to break a staff across Nicholas's head for making eyes at his intended.
Oh, I'm in no good mood for more noise and riot, and yet, do what I will, I may have to suffer a blow or two from his staff.
Servant, young gentleman.
Yours.
So, we meet up at last, then.
Come, we parted on no very good terms last time we met. It was my fault, but I had no idea I was offending you, and I'm sorry I did so. Will you shake hands?
Shake hands? That I will. But what's the matter with the face, man? It's all broken off.
It's a cut, a blow, but I returned it with interest to the giver.
And who might that be?
The man Squeers. I have beaten him soundly, and as you see me, I'm leaving.
What? Beaten the schoolmaster? Whoever heard the like of that? Give us your hand, young fellow. Beaten the schoolmaster? By God, I love thee for it. But where do you go now? To London? Do you know how much the coach will cost?
Well, I don't, but it doesn't matter, for I've no money and I mean to do it on foot.
Nay, wait. How much cash have you got?
4 shillings, 3 pence. But I can make it enough. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, here's my purse, man. Take what you need. Go on, don't be afeard. Take it. You can send it back to me later.
Oh, well, may I borrow just 1 guinea?
Now, take what you need, man.
This will be more than enough. You are very generous, John Browdie.
Not for the man that beat the schoolmaster. Oh, bless you. Take this staff and all, and good luck on your way. Beating the schoolmaster. Go on. Best thing I've heard this 20 years.
Nicholas does not go much further that evening. The events of the day have been exhausting, and seeing an empty barn, he finds a warm corner, stretches out, and is instantly asleep. When he awakes, he sees, crouching close...
Smike? You here? What are you
I
doing?
I want to go with you.
To go with me?
Aye. Anywhere. Everywhere. To the end of the world. To the churchyard grave. Take me with you. You're my friend.
Oh, I can do little enough for you. How are you here? How did you find me?
I followed you. Always. From that place to here.
Well, we're nearly as poor as each other.
May I go with you? I don't want nothing, not clothes. These will do me very well. I just want to be with you.
And you shall. And the world shall deal by you as it does by me, till one or both of us shall quit it for a better. Come.
Nicholas takes his new staff in one hand, holds out the other to his charge, and so they pass out of the old barn together towards an uncertain future.
Come, my friend.